lives. So, Lord, we say amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming that we might have life. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for all that you have done in loving us to send Jesus, Holy Spirit of God. Thank you for your presence to move among us. We thank you for the promise that Jesus said, where two or three gather in my name, I am there. So we recognize and recognize your presence, Lord Jesus, today. So among us today, do your work. We all stand as an example of how you have done what you've done in our lives, and we say amen. We say amen for salvation. We say amen for provision. We say amen for hope when there seems to be no hope, and we thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. We say amen. So in Jesus' name, all God's people said amen. Well, good morning. Good to see all of you. We're glad you're here. Wasn't that a blessing just to hear them sing this morning? Wasn't that good? Amen. Well, if you're here with us and you're a guest, I'm Pastor Mike. We're glad to have you here. Welcome. And we hope that you have a blessing being with us during this summertime as we wind it up and school starts soon. Good news, school starts soon, boys and girls. And all the parents said amen. It's about time. And the kids said, oh my, right? That's right. All right. I didn't want to get you too stirred up about school, but it's coming. It's coming. Just a few weeks. Well, this morning we're finishing up. We've been looking for a while in John. If you have a Bible, the New Testament, look and find John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John's the fourth book in the New Testament. It's called a gospel. The word gospel means good news. So today we're talking about good news. The good news, and this is the good news. This is what I've been saying all these weeks, all through the summer. If you meet Jesus, it's good news. You know why? Because you find life. You find life when you meet Jesus. Would anybody want to say amen to that? Okay, we got you warmed up this morning. I got to have a few amens today. You got to remember, if you say amen more often, the sermon's shorter. That's just the way it works. Yeah, okay, not all the time. Let me say a few things first. But today is the final miracle of Jesus, and this is an amazing story. Remember, these are eyewitness accounts that John, one of the disciples, wrote these words as he saw the amazing things Jesus did. As he walked there in Galilee and in Jerusalem and in that area. And today, we read these astounding words. Many of us here have read them before. I want you to go back and read them with me today like you've never read them before. Today, Jesus brings a dead man back to life. Now, I would say that's meeting Jesus, when a dead man can come back to life. So today we can't look at all of John 11. The entire chapter is about this amazing story of Jesus bringing his friend Lazarus back to life. But we'll read a few verses together. So I'd like for you to stand now in honor of the reading of God's Word. If you would please stand. If you have your copy of God's Word, find John 11. If you don't, I'll have some of these verses on the screen. If I don't have them and you don't have your Bible, you can just hear these words. First of all, we pick up and Jesus tells his disciples something that no one knows except God would know this. He says in verse 14, the word has come to him that Lazarus, his friend, is sick. Jesus says to his disciples, verse 14, Lazarus is dead. Then Martha meets Jesus, one of the sisters of this dead man, meets Jesus as he's coming, and he talks with Martha a little bit down in verse 17 on down through that chapter. Jesus says to Martha in verse 22, your brother will rise again. And she says she knows that on the resurrection day. And Jesus says, verse 25, this is very important for us, these red letter words. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me. Listen to these words, dear people. Hear the words of Jesus. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. And Jesus asked Martha, "Do you believe this?" And I'm going to ask you today, do you believe this? Then we pick up reading, beginning in verse 30. Jesus had yet come to the village, but was still in the place where Martha met him. And then the Jews who were with her in the house and consoling her, when they saw Mary, got up quickly and went out. They followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Therefore Mary, when she came to Jesus, she saw him, she fell at his feet, and she said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus therefore saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and was troubled and said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. So the Jews were saying, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind have kept this man also from dying?" Now verse 38. So Jesus again, being deeply moved within, came to the tomb. Now it was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Remove the stone." Martha, the sister of the deceased, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be a stench, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they removed the stone. Then Jesus raised his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but because of the people standing around, I said it, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." The man who died came forth, bound hand and foot with wrappings, and his face was wrapped around with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Therefore, many of the Jews who came to Mary and saw what he had done believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them the things which Jesus had done. So now, Heavenly Father, we stand before you reminded of this fact that every one of us, like Lazarus, will die. We have a birthday and we have a death day. And then we stand before you accountable for whether we've believed in Jesus and whether we have eternal life or we eternally die. So Lord, help us today to understand the very important nature of what we talk about today. May my words honor Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. So as you come this morning, I want you to see several observations from this amazing story of a man who was dead who came back to life by the authority of Jesus' words. Please pay attention. It's by the words of Jesus that this man came back to life. This famous story of Lazarus is one that we all can learn from. And I want you to see, first of all, today, number one, and this is very important for me to, my words, I've really tried to choose them carefully this week as we think about this amazing experience and event that happened in the life of Jesus and with Lazarus. And here's my first words to you. Lazarus, this man who died, his death is our death. Now let me see if I can explain what I mean by that. Lazarus died. We read in verse 1, there was a certain man sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. And so the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Our brother is sick, and come." And so Jesus stayed where he chose to stay where he was for 2 more days. Lazarus died, but there was no messenger who came. This is my first thing I want you to hear this morning. Remember this. Only God knows the day I'm born, when it'll be, when it was for you, and only God knows the day that I will die and the day you will die. Jesus is with his disciples. They've heard this news, but they're busy about other conversations and discussions at the beginning of this chapter, chapter 11. But then Jesus says, rather abruptly, verse 14, he says, this man's not dead. He's asleep, and he's going to, for the glory of God, so that the Son of Man will be honored, so that Jesus will be honored. They go on to talk about this, and then Jesus says abruptly, verse 14, Lazarus is dead. Now, when was the last time? It's happened in this entire room. What I'm about to say is as common, it's as common to the human experience as anything that I can say to you. Lazarus' death is our death. Listen, beloved. Every one of us has heard these words. Lazarus is dead. Only you need to replace it with your loved one's name. Your mother is dead. Your father is dead. Your child is dead. Your friend is dead. Your working partner is dead. Lazarus is dead. Jesus simply says these words to remind us of what is real in life. Look, the world may take us on a journey of fantasy, but those of us who know Jesus, we must learn this. I say it to you all the time. I will say it to you again today. This is my chance to say it to you. I can't labor on this as long as I'd like, but I must say it. Remember this. You must, if you know Jesus, our job here is coming to know the Lord so that you and I will know how to live and we'll also know how to die. You see, there's a way to die right and there's a way to die wrong. And the way to die, to be ready to die, is to know Jesus. Often when I talk to people about knowing Jesus, I ask them a question. I learned it a long time ago. Here's the question. I'm going to ask all of you. I'll make no assumptions for who's in the room. If you died today, are you certain that you would live forever? If you died today, are you certain that you would live forever? You see, that's the question. That's the life and death issue that everyone's faced with. Lazarus' death is our death. Look, friends, the Bible says, the book of Ecclesiastes, there's a time to be born, a time to die. The Bible makes it clear that death is a universal issue. In fact, we read in the book of Romans, Paul teaches us in Romans 5:12, through Adam, through one man, sin entered into the world. Listen to these words, Romans 5:12. Through one man, sin entered the world, and death through sin. Death and sin are connected together. So death spread. Death spread to all people because all sinned. Sin and death. Death and sin. There's no end to the funerals. There's no end to the death. I was reading this week that and I don't know where these calculations come from, but the estimate is that in the United States of America, over 6,500 plus people per day, not every day, but on average, die in the United States. 6,500 people a day, people being born, people dying, some dying young, some dying old, some dying in the middle of life, some dying in the youth of life. Death, universal. Death, the great disruptor. We've all stood. I've stood here many, many times, even in these years I've been here, with our families, with many of you. We stand at the graveside. We stand in a place helpless, not knowing what to do. Lazarus' death is our death. And these dear women, these sisters, they both said it. Lord, if you had been here, our brother had not died. But you see, there's a time for Lazarus to be born, and there's a time for Lazarus to die. So Jesus says to his disciples, before they get to Bethany, Lazarus is dead. Now, the second thing I want you to see, And this is such a wonderful, tender thing we learn from this amazing event in the life of Jesus. Number two, Jesus, and these words are very important. Please hear me. Hear me as I seek to share them. I'm doing my best to express to you what I sense is in this event for us. Jesus feels and understands. Please notice my words are in the present tense. You see, Jesus is alive. Amen? Aren't you glad? Jesus today feels and understands just like He did standing with these dear sisters and all of their friends and family grieving because of the power of death. See, you can't stop death no matter how rich you are. You can't stop death no matter how smart you are. You can't stop death no matter where you live, who's in your family. It's universal. The power of death still reigns in this world. The pain, the enemy of death, the great interrupter, the destroyer of all things. But Jesus, oh, these words are so sweet. Jesus feels and understands death's power and grief. We read these words in verse 33. When Jesus saw Mary weeping and the Jews who came also weeping, He was, please pay attention. Jesus wasn't a phantom and a ghost who had some kind of form like a man. No, He was fully a man. He was fully a man with feelings. You know what? I got to tell you this. Feelings and emotions help you know, are you listening to me? That you're alive. Feelings and emotions are put in us by God. But there are people today who woke up this morning and they don't feel so good because yesterday they tried to drink away their feelings. They tried to take medicine and drugs and other things to numb their feelings. But listen, friend, feelings help us to know we're alive. And Jesus sees and is moved emotionally, verse 33, in His spirit and is troubled. In verse 38, He's deeply moved within. Our Lord was moved. As a man, fully man, He asked a woman for a drink of water. He went sound to sleep in the back of a boat when they were going across a storm. Jesus was tired. Jesus had to sleep. Jesus had hungers. He had thirst. And Jesus, verse 35, wept. Jesus wept. Well, you say, Pastor Mike, you already knew what He was going to do. Jesus wept. Fully man, the God-man who knew Lazarus was dead now stands in this pitiful situation where we've all been and will be before Jesus comes again until our own death day, and He's weeping along with the rest. I want you to know that because here's what the Bible says later. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. We have a high priest who can sympathize with our feelings. Aren't you glad Jesus knows how you feel? I said, aren't you glad to know that Jesus knows how you feel? I'm glad to know. When I bow my knees, when I sit alone with the Lord, I can talk to Him. Jesus knows our troubles and He knows how we feel. You got to listen to me this morning. There's nobody who cares more about you than Jesus. Jesus feels and understands. A third thing I want you to see quickly as we move along in this story is the absolute authority of Jesus. Jesus is Lord. He is boss. He is in control of life and death. Oh, you better hear me this morning. You better hear me. The doctors aren't in charge of life and death. Jesus is in charge of life and death. You better hear me this morning. Science and all the medicines in the world are not the Lord of life and death. Jesus is Lord of life and death. So we read these amazing words. They go to the tomb. Remember, buried in a cave. The Jewish way was to wrap the body. They did not embalm the body. They wrapped the body. They put all kinds of perfumes with the body. And then the body was put in the caves. in that darkened place, and the body started to decompose. 4 days in, this body is decomposing. We can't smell it in the story, but it's here. The smell of death, the sight of the grieving, it's the pain, it's the absolute seeming control of death. Death seems to be the overwhelming victor and Lord. Oh, but all of a sudden Jesus says, roll the stone back. Roll the stone back. Remove the stone, verse 39. Martha says, my brother's been dead 4 days. He's going to smell. Remove the stone. Jesus prays. Thanks the Father for always hearing him when he prayed. And thanks the Father for the fact that many will believe because of what he's about to do. And then we read these incredible words in verse number 43. When he had said these things and prayed, he cried out. Please notice, he cries out. Jesus shouts with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And when he says these words, we miss the power of them. In the original language, what Jesus really says to Lazarus is, he tells Lazarus in an unbelievable way in this section. He says, Lazarus, here, H-E-R-E, outside. Come here. Come to this place. Jesus didn't go inside the cave with some helpers and bring him out alive. Jesus didn't send anybody in there. You better be listening to me this morning. Jesus didn't send anybody in there to bring this dead man out, lame here, and then they do something. No, Jesus simply said these words to a dead man, fully dead, who can't hear anymore. Jesus, the Son of God, speaks to a dead man, and he comes to life. Now, how about that, ladies and gentlemen? There's only one who can speak to the dead and they come to life, Jesus. Now I'm going to tell you something. Don't miss this in your Bible. The Bible says one of these days, you ready for this? There's going to be another shout. Are you ready for this? There's going to be another shout, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Bodies will be put back together. A glorious day. We sang about it this morning. We believe in the resurrection of the dead when Jesus comes again. Amen? We believe that. There's a lot of shouting that goes on when the dead come to life. There's a whole lot of shouting that comes on. The same is true when we come to life spiritually. You see, we're dead in our sins the same way. Dead. We don't understand anything about the Bible. We don't understand all these spiritual things, all this spiritual talk. But one day when we're dead, somebody who's our friend comes and tells us about Jesus. And all of a sudden, we start hearing things we've never heard before. Jesus, John 1:4, is life. He is the source of life. Jesus said, John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the... I am the life. Jesus says here, to Martha, what we read earlier, I am the resurrection and I am the life. Jesus, when he speaks to the dead, they come to life. Now they bring this pitiful dead man, somehow makes his way out in all of his bandages and wrappings. And Jesus says, unwrap this man. And now Lazarus is alive. He doesn't stink anymore. He's alive. Lazarus is alive, standing beside Jesus. And it leads me to the last thing I want you to see. This is really important. Notice these words. Whoever believes in Jesus lives even when they die. Now, this is the astounding claim that we make, oh, by the way, and we stake our lives on it. You see? You see, the world says, look, you're going to die. You're going to go back to dust. And it really doesn't matter what you do now. Just go have a party, man. Just go live it up. Eat it up. Drink it up. Do what you can. Buy as much as you can. Do what you got to do. And oh, by the way, you're the center of all the world anyway, so just be selfish about it. Just go have a ball because you're going to be dead. But the Bible says those who believe in Jesus, oh, let me just say what the Lord said. I am the resurrection and the life. He or she who believes in me will live even if he dies, and everyone who lives and believes in me never dies. You see, we look at death a whole different way when we come to know Jesus. Your physical death comes, but when you know Jesus, are you listening? You're still alive. Well, Pastor Mike, I don't know what that looks like. We know this. The Lord Jesus died and he came back to life. And he ascended to heaven with a real glorified body. Jesus is alive after being dead. He's the resurrection and life. And he gives to all who believe in him eternal life. So death isn't the end. Death is death's just a passageway. It's a stepping through to another life. It's another way to live. So this morning, here's my question. Do you believe that? Will you stake your life on it? Will you put your confidence in the fact that Jesus says, I have life, I have the ability to give you life, and when you believe in me, even when you die, you live, and when you live, you'll never die. By the way, that's the best definition right there in John chapter 11, verse 25, that's the best definition of eternal life in all of the Bible. What is eternal life? It's living even when you die. And when you're dying and you die, you're still alive. It's eternal life. A relationship with God that never ends. A connection to Him and being a part of who He is forever. Living in a place beyond our own imagination, in an invisible world we cannot understand. The Bible calls it heaven. A place and a dimension of time we cannot comprehend. So Jesus speaks to a dead man out of a dark, dead cave, stinking dead, and says, come to life. And here's what he's doing today. He still calls on us. He tells, when you tell your friend about Jesus, you know what's sad? Some of them believe and some of them don't. I have to point this out as we finish. You know, I've heard people say and tell me in my life, you know, well, Pastor Mike, look, I would believe on Jesus if I could see him and I could see him do his miracles. And I think to myself, really? You would? Lots of people saw Jesus do lots of things and they still didn't believe. Let me just point it out here. As a result of this miracle, and Lazarus is now standing alive beside Jesus, the Bible tells us in verse 45, therefore many of the Jews who came to Mary and saw what Jesus had done believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees. Some believed and some walked away. That sounds like our world. That sounds like us. You tell somebody in your family about Jesus. You want them to trust the Lord so desperately to believe in Jesus, they won't do it. They won't believe. You tell somebody else who's your friend, the one you least expect who would believe in Jesus, and they believe in Jesus. They confess Him as Lord. They believe God raised Him from the dead. They trust Him, and they experience eternal life and all that goes with it. In this world. Well, you see, the same is true for you. Don't get discouraged when you tell your friend about Jesus and they don't want to believe. Jesus stood as the Son of God on earth, speaking the most wonderful words that have ever been spoken, speaking God words into this world, doing miracles of, as we've seen, raising people who were unable to walk, giving sight to the blind and raising the dead, feeding them food, doing all kinds of miracles, and some believed and some did not believe. Here's the question for you and for me. Do we believe in Jesus? And once we have believed in Him and followed Him, go tell your friends and let the Lord do the rest. Let the Lord do the rest. So this morning, I am the resurrection and the life, Jesus says. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? That's the question. Thank you for listening. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this amazing event in the life of Jesus. We've tried to see it in our minds. We weren't there, but our friend, our father, spiritual father, John, has tried to help us understand it all these many, many years after this event happened. Lord, we thank you for the unbelievable power that you have to call the dead back to life. And Lord, a whole bunch of us in here, this man standing here speaking, I speak for a whole bunch of us in here who've been dead spiritually. And we heard the name of Jesus, we believed in Jesus, we put our faith in him, and we've come to life. And we thank you for that life. We thank you for making life here in this world better because we know you. And then the promise that when we die, we live. But Lord, we're burdened about our friends and our family who still do not know Jesus, who have still not confessed the name of Jesus. And I pray by the power of the Holy Spirit, even among us today, those who do not know Jesus may be drawn to him and confess him as Savior. If you're here this morning and you're curious about what it means to follow Jesus, our pastors will be here at the front in just a moment. We're going to stand. We do this normally. This is our tradition. We stand and we publicly invite people to come down these aisles in front of everybody and say, I'm ready to follow Jesus. And then we help you with the next step. Some of you have prayed to receive Christ, but you've never been baptized. You need to come. That's the next step. Others of you are born again, you've been baptized, but you are not a part of a church. You need a church home. We're not perfect here at the church. We make mistakes. We do the best we can, but you need a fellowship. You need to be with other believers. We invite you to come. Heavenly Father, help us now as we come to this time to hear what you've said and make the decision you want us to make. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand, please? And we're going to sing together this song. And as we sing together, just when I need him most, if you need to come, come meet me or one of the pastors. You're among friends. Come on right now if you need to come. Anybody
just
here?
Just when I need him, Jesus is near. Just when I falter, just when I fear. Ready to help me, ready to cheer. Just when I need. Just when I need him most, just when I need him most, Jesus is there to comfort and cheer. Just when I need him most, just when I need him, Jesus is true, never forsake.
Come this morning, you come on.
Jesus is good to comfort and cheer, just when I need him.
Would you bow your heads, please, for just a moment? Every head bowed. We do this every week. When someone comes, we wait. I believe that's always, always believe that's the chance for somebody else who needs to come. Lori's just playing quietly. You can pray. What have you heard the Lord say to you today? What is it that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you about? Friend, respond to what he says. Listen to his voice. Just when I need him most. Just when I need him most. Jesus is near to comfort and cheer. Some of you today are broken and hurting and you need to say, Lord, this is how I feel. And the Lord says, I know how you feel. I'm with you. Steve's going to sing, and as Steve sings, we're going to keep our heads bowed. If you need to come from the balcony or below, come on, you're among friends.
Just when I need him, Jesus is strong.
Anybody here?
Bearing my burdens all the day long. For all my sorrow, giving a song. Just when I need him.
Let's sing it together. Just when I need him, sing
just
it.
When I need him
most. Oh, sing it with me, church.
Just when I need him most, Jesus is there to come.
thank you. Would you be seated, please, for just a moment? We're finishing getting some information on these who've come. Hope you'll be here tonight. Pastor Todd will be sharing, and you don't want to miss as we're looking at some things together about being courageous Christians. And Todd shared with us last week, and it was a blessing. And he'll be doing that again tonight. So, Todd, would you come? Let's introduce these who've come this morning.
Certainly.
Well, good morning, church. Well, I think this is where, there we go. Now it's working. Well, we have been blessed to have a family come forward this morning. Come on up, guys. This is Matt, Sharon, and they have two sons, Peter and Parker Taylor. They're coming to join from a sister Baptist church. They all know Jesus. They've been baptized. And if you rejoice in their decision to make this church their spiritual home, raise your hand. Say amen. Welcome, guys. Welcome. Jessica, come on up. This is Jessica Hollingsworth. Her parents, I believe, joined last week. Is that right? Not too long ago. So she comes, and she's already knows Jesus. It's a transfer of letter as well. But if you rejoice in her decision to make this home, her spiritual home, just raise your hand. Say amen. Well, church, please come tonight. The Lord is doing some amazing things with courageous people, and I'm anxious to share it with you tonight. Please come, and let's all stand. And Steve, will you close us out tonight?
Let's read together Psalm 72, 18 and 19. Say it with me. Praise the Lord God, the God of Israel, who alone does such wonderful things. Praise His glorious name forever. Let the whole earth be filled with His glory. Amen and amen.